I kind of had a choice at that point.
Not just being patient with the process, but being grateful with the process.
And I'm like, man, I went to my dad straight after the game. I'm like, yo, like this shit can't happen anymore, man. I always try to take the good out of any negative situation.
You know, I have players coming in, Xavier, and they'd be like, you know, I played so bad. You know, sometimes I'd be like, hey, bro, hey, I don't know, we can't do nothing about that. I can tell you what we can do, we can get some work in right now.
Like, if you're not doing plyometrics, you're losing out on a lot of potential for performance.
My dad had these tapes of the Laker game. I got to a point where I said, you know, I want to play basketball. And I just always wanted to make sure I had the edge over people.
It became a part of me, you know, I didn't want anybody to get to be better than me.
This episode is brought to you by Whoop. Whoop is the only 24/7 wearable technology that measures the everyday stressors both inside and outside of work and training. Whoop measures the physiological data related to sleep, including the quality, duration, and consistency of sleep, strain, which is the internal load from external stress, and recovery, which is the readiness to perform. Whoop uses these three key metrics to call out areas for improvements and reinforce positive habits. If you're looking to join the team, use my discount code BBALL at checkout or just click the link in my description to get a free 30-day trial with Whoop. Come join the team. Let's level up together. Welcome back to another episode of the Basketball and Barbells podcast. It is day 6 of 14 days of Christmas. If you've tuned in to all the episodes before this, the other 5, I appreciate you. If you're just tuning in, please go back and listen to the other 5. I have them up, available on almost any platform you can possibly think of. Today's topic, I felt like I wanted to touch a little bit more on why flexibility isn't always key. So a lot of players come to me and, you know, their coaches or their parents will come up and say, hey, you know, he needs to be more flexible, he needs more mobility. Things of that nature. And sometimes I get players who are, you know, especially when it comes to, you know, some of the women that I train, have the range of motion, have the ability to move through certain ranges of motion, and they think that they need more. So it's not necessarily to say that flexibility isn't something we should be working on, maybe active range of mobility, passive ranges of mobility. That's not necessarily the topic of today's discussion. Today is more so about stiffness. There's actually a great, very good presentation on this on EdgeU. Go check that out if you haven't. If you are interested in diving into the deep science of stiffness and strength and conditioning, this is more of a quick overview, 10 to 15 minutes at the most. It's not going to be super in-depth, just something to kind of get you understanding and on the same page, and then also giving you some quick examples of how we can improve our stiffness and things like that. So before we get into it, again, I want to make sure that everyone's on the same page. You need to understand what stiffness is first, right? How do we, or why do we need stiffness for performance? And what are some options that we can take up in order to increase our stiffness? So again, today is not necessarily going to be a deep dive into this because we can really get into the weeds if we really want to. This one is just more so about, again, a little bit more of a general overview and guiding you in the right direction. So what is stiffness? Stiffness is the ability to resist deformation of an object. So if I gave an example of a basketball, so when you dribble a basketball, right, we all know the great basketballs when they actually have the right amount of air in them, right? It's easy to dribble. Now imagine a flat basketball. All right, what happens? You try to dribble it, right? It doesn't necessarily come up to your hip. You might have to dribble it a little bit harder in order to actually play with it. So easy example right there to understand what stiffness is and also compliance. So compliance is when an object or whatever have you is easier to deform and requires less force to deform it. So in regards to the basketball example, if the basketball has enough air in it, it's a lot more stiff. It bounces a little bit higher because it's not easily deformed. Whereas the basketball that's flat, right, it very easily deforms. Imagine getting a basketball and you actually try to squeeze it. It's a lot harder to squeeze the basketball that has enough air in it, or maybe too much air. It's a lot harder to squeeze it together versus a flat basketball. You can damn near put your hands all the way in and touch them on the other side. So stiffness is, again, the ability to resist deformation. I also like the example of a rubber band. So if I give a rubber band to you and you're trying to pull it apart, so you would have a rubber band that's too stiff, it would be really hard to pull that rubber band apart, right? It's almost to the point where it's almost you're afraid that it's going to snap. Maybe it hits you. Now I'll give the example of a rubber band that is compliant. It's easily deformed. Now we have a rubber band that's very easy to pull apart, right? It doesn't take much effort to pull it apart versus the stiffer rubber band. It took a lot more effort, a lot more energy because of the ability to resist deformation. So those are the two in a nutshell of stiffness and compliance as to what it is. Now, I also want to say that just because something's stiff doesn't mean it cannot stretch. Again, it just requires more force to deform it. So basically, if we think about our tendons, maybe even our muscles, if we have stiffer tendons, it takes a lot more energy to deform, right, whatever position, whatever range of motion that we are typically in with that joint that the tendon is actually pulling and creating shorter or longer or greater ranges of motion. All right, so for instance, let's just use an ankle as an example. So we all know that if we're trying to jump rope, we're staying on the balls of our foot, right? A lot easier to jump rope if our balls of our feet are kind of just tapping the ground and we're just going up and down. Now I'll try to imagine you're trying to jump rope, right? And you're on the, not the ball of your foot, but your entire foot, you're flat footed. It's a lot harder. This is because when we're flat footed, right, our Achilles tendon is a lot more compliant. Whereas when we're on the ball of our foot, it's forcing our foot to plantar flex. It's forcing us to point our toes. Because of this, the Achilles tendon is a lot more stiff in that position. And there is also active stiffness, things like that. I'm not going to get into that. But in that position, where we're on the ball of our foot, the Achilles tendon is a lot more stiff in that position versus when we're flat footed. And I'm going to go into a little bit more of detail of how we increase our stiffness. But basically, I want you to understand what stiffness is. And also understand that different joints also have different ranges of motion depending on the stiffness. So if our ankle is stiff, that doesn't necessarily mean our hip is going to be stiff. And if our hip is stiff, doesn't necessarily mean our shoulder joint is going to be a little bit more stiff. So it's going to be joint specific. It's going to depend on what joint you're talking about, but just keep that in mind. All right, so we know what stiffness is, right? The ability to deform, resist deformation, compliance is when an object easily deforms, or just the amount of compliance that an object have versus its stiffness. Now that we know what that is, now we need to understand why stiffness for performance is actually important. So again, it's not necessarily to say that if an athlete in general is stiff, that they cannot move and they cannot stretch, they can't move through full ranges of motion. It just means that if we're talking in general, right, that athlete may be able to transfer energy a lot more easily than another athlete. So for instance, again, the same thing when we were talking about the foot and the ankle complex. If I ask you to step off a box and jump up as high as you can as soon as you touch the ground by stepping off that box, right? So essentially a drop jump, it would be a lot easier and a lot less effort required if I told you, hey, I want you to try to stand the ball of your foot and get up as quickly as you can, versus I want you to land, get into a deep knee bend, and then jump up. So in that example, the athlete that would stay on the ball of their foot and essentially just kind of create that stiffness in their ankle joint would actually jump higher and possibly even faster than the athlete who would actually get that deeper knee bend. So the athlete with a deeper knee bend may in total jump higher, but they won't have the speed. So the reason why we need stiffness for performance in this scenario, it helps with energy transfer, right? So instead of having to create energy, we want to transfer energy. And this is all going to be context specific. So different scenarios, you might want to create more energy. Different scenarios, you might want to maintain and just transfer energy. So in that instance of the actual drop jump that I just mentioned, right, imagine that you're in a basketball game and you have to get a rebound and you have to go back for a putback, right? That all the basketball coaches tell you not to dip the basketball, not to get that knee bend. You want to just stay up tall and go up quickly, right? So all the best athletes have a great second jump because they're pretty stiff and they get up very quickly. So Andrew Wiggins is someone that always comes to mind for this, for my examples, in my opinion, because he's very stiff. He's very quick. He's very athletic, but he also has enough compliance as well. Again, this is just to help with energy transfer in this position, and it also helps decrease ground contact time. So ground contact time, in a nutshell, is just the amount of time spent on the ground whenever you're making any type of movement, whether you're landing from a jump and jumping back up, you're sprinting, right? How long is that foot on the ground? We always, oh, not always, but in certain scenarios, we want to decrease the ground contact time because the less you're on the ground, right, the less time you have to spend planting that foot when you're sprinting. In general, the faster and quicker you are. So when we're stiffer, right, the energy is transferring a lot faster. Remember that example of the athlete stepping off the box into a drop jump and getting up quick, right? Decreasing that ground contact time, that athlete is going to be faster, quicker than the athlete that bends the knees, that really tries to generate that power. And again, the athlete that's stiffer is going to save energy in the long run. So obviously over the course of a basketball game, you want to save that energy because you want to be available for the fourth quarter. So not only is it helping you be faster, be quicker, but it's also helping you last longer. Again, this is going to be context dependent, but you want to be in a position where if we have to create energy, then cool, we can do that. If we have time on the fast break where we can really load up, get up for a dunk, then we can do that. But if we're on a fast break and we just got to get up quick for that layup, we don't necessarily want to get that deep knee bend. We want to make sure we get up quickly and still as high as possible. So we want to maintain the energy. We want to maintain that sprint speed. You want to maintain that momentum and go up into a layup. And obviously, these are basketball examples. You can think of plenty of different examples. But if we are in positions of, you know, where we need to decrease this ground contact time, we need to react quickly and fast, then, in my personal opinion, stiffness is going to be a major key, especially for basketball players, because the game is so dependent on reactivity. It's dependent on changing direction, deceleration, all that stuff. It's not necessarily just a sport where we just have all the time in the world, right? I believe my other podcast, not sure if I gave out this this number, but almost every 20 seconds, you're making explosive movements, and each explosive movement is about 2 to 3 seconds long, right? So we don't necessarily have time to spend 5 seconds trying to generate power. Sometimes we may have half a second or even a quarter of a second. So we need that time. We need to make sure we're decreasing that ground contact time. And then for the most part, we're playing quickly. And in order to play quicker, right, stiffness helps because we want to have our joints. We don't have our tendons. We want to make sure we have the stiffness and the ability to bounce quickly, to rebound quickly, to sprint quickly, to plant and get out quickly, things like that. So we want to make sure that we have the stiffness that we need. So again, I'm not saying compliance is a bad thing. I'm not saying flexibility, right? Being mobile, having ranges of motion is a bad thing. But there are times when we have to go, right? And we need to make sure we have the stiffness, we have the speed and the energy transfer to get to where we're going quickly. All right, so to wrap things up, some things that we can do to increase our stiffness. Two perfect examples that are pretty simple. Plyometrics are a great way to increase our stiffness. So just talking about jumping rope. So that's an easy way to increase our ankle stiffness. We're staying on the ball of our foot, right? We can get a bunch of jumps in, low impact, low level intensity, right? Over time, our ankles will begin to develop and our tendons will begin to develop that stiffness because of the repetitive motion of that jump. Another simple thing is the power skip, pogo hops, focusing on maintaining small changes in the ranges of motion. Definitely highly underrated. I think power skips are definitely one of the things that my basketball players, we do a lot of whenever we're working on our explosiveness, our stiffness, depending on the athlete, right? So if I have an athlete that just has crazy ankle stiffness already, maybe we don't necessarily need that. He's already, or he or she is already pretty stiff, pretty explosive. Maybe they don't need that. Maybe they need more compliance. But maybe I have an athlete who has enough compliance. Let's start to train them to be a little bit more stiff. It's always a give and take. You can have more range of motion. You can have more compliance, still be stiff. But in my opinion, it's like a spectrum. How much do we need? The position, the level of play, your health, everything matters in terms of what you need as far as stiffness, but don't want to go down that rabbit hole. And lastly, obviously, resistance training. For me personally, training through partial ranges is a major key. So if we're training and we're going through a body, let's say just a dumbbell squat. So I don't necessarily always want to go through a full, right, ass to grass type of body weight squat or dumbbell squat, because if I want to increase the stiffness, maybe I don't need to train through that full range of motion. So in some cases, like depending on the time of year, the athlete, I may train through that range of motion to develop overall strength. But if I want to develop more stiffness in terms of certain ranges of motion, I may, instead of going through a full range of motion squat, I may just go into not even a 90 degree squat, but a quarter squat, right? So about 135 degrees, basically the same position that you're going to be in when you're guarding the basketball. I know a lot of coaches tell you to sit down. In my personal opinion, I think it can go either way, depending on whether you need to react, right? Maybe you need to go out, close out. Maybe there's a situation where you have to grab a rebound. So there's different scenarios, but ideally, in my personal opinion, based off watching film, I think that partial squat, that partial range of motion is a major key. So resistance training is going to be a major key in order to increase your stiffness as well. Partially, or at least mainly through partial ranges of motion, this can be done for anything. You can do this through half kneeling presses, bench presses. It can be done through, again, even halvesy calf raises. The list goes on, but just resistance training by itself is something that can definitely increase your stiffness. And the studies also support it, right? Studies support that power athletes actually were more stiff than any other athletes, maybe that weren't necessarily power athletes. I can link the studies in the show notes, but studies also support this as well. All right, guys, that just about wraps it up for today. If you guys have any questions, please let me know. Again, the topic today was not necessarily about not training for flexibility, but just understanding a little bit more about stiffness and why we need stiffness in our performance. If you have questions, all my information is linked in the show notes. Thank you again for tuning into today's episode and for tuning into the 14 days of Christmas as a whole. If you guys need anything, always feel free to reach out to me. Let's go be great. Thank you for listening to the Basketball and Barbells podcast. I really hope you all got major value from today's episode. Please leave a rating and review of the show, and don't forget to tune into the next episode.